What strikes you in this passage? I'll tell you what strikes me in a moment. And this popular, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Peter had the right idea of getting out of the boat. Literally stepping out in faith, so the sermon goes. And Jesus bids us to come to him throughout life. And like Peter, we must heed his invitation, find courage and swing our legs out and step into the water. If we do, then we will walk to Jesus and trusting him alone to help us. Do great things for God. Beware of doubts, fears, and don't pay attention to the waves. Keep your eye on the Master. Here endeth the lesson. Or maybe not. In the context of this chapter, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And also, this is not the first time that there have been trouble with water and boats. The other occasion was in Matthew 8, when you can read about a very serious storm. And Jesus this time was in the boat, that time. This time he wasn't in the boat, and that's an interesting comparison. And the storm wasn't as great as this time. So after he fed the 5,000, it strikes me, it's immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And I've never thought of this before, that I'd always assumed the disciples, his followers, would dismiss the crowd. But no, this time Jesus did it himself. And I find that interesting. Why did he do that? Well, for one thing, he wanted to be alone to pray. And he wanted rest to escape the crowd. It must have been very tiring for him. And thirdly, to avoid a messianic uproar. What makes me say that is in John 6, verse 15, it says, perceiving they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. So he wanted to avoid that. It would have been a right uproar, a right commotion. Can you imagine them taking Jesus and making him king before it was the right time? Jesus didn't neglect prayer. Many a time he's found praying alone to his Father. Someone once said that secret prayer fats the soul as secret morsels feed the body. I've had lots of secret morsels. The boat was in the middle of the sea. And Galilee, as you know, is well known for storms. And like I said before, Jesus this time wasn't even in the boat. But it was the fourth watch of the night. And it says, shortly before dawn in my version. In another version it says, the fourth watch of the night. And that is between 3 and 6 a.m. Exhausted, they'd been rowing all night against the waves, and it wore them out. They were tired. So Jesus suddenly appeared. It's not surprising they were shocked, is it? Or suddenly a figure appearing, hovering on the water, over the water, but he was actually walking on the water. So no wonder they were scared. Two good reasons to put away fear. Problem one is the problem is not as bad as what you thought. And two, the solution is at hand. And Jesus was the solution. And then we come to Peter's bold move in verse 28. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter feared the wind, but Jesus was there to save him. And Jesus brought Peter back to the boat. What a sight that must have been. Two men walking on the water, getting back into the boat. Then we have an interesting phrase called, O you of little faith, in verse 31. And this is, if you understand a bit of Greek, and I'll tell you what little bit you need to know. Jesus uses two single words and joins them together for the first time. And the word is oligopistos. And oligos means few or little, and pistos means faith. So he's saying to Peter, make one word out of two. Where is your faith? Of little faith. And the interesting thing about little faith is it's found where we might expect great faith. Remember, they'd just seen Jesus perform miracles after miracles, and especially the feeding of the 5,000. Little faith is far too eager for signs. And that's what we look for sometimes. We might recognize this in us. We look for signs. Little faith is apt to have too high an opinion of its power. Faith is much affected by its surroundings. How often do we look around us and think, it's not going to happen. Everything's going against it. We're looking at the surroundings, and that's what little faith does. Little faith is too quick to exaggerate the peril. All them waves, they were massive. They were 40 foot, they were 60 foot, they were 100 foot. And we can make perils worse than what they are, make things seem worse than what they really are. And the shortest prayer in the Bible is Peter's, and that was, Lord, save me. And Peter, despite all what I've just said, shows us the strength of little faith. Little faith is true faith. little faith will obey the words of Jesus. Jesus said, come, and he did. Little faith struggles to come to Jesus. Little faith will accomplish great things for a time. Little faith will pray when it's in trouble. As Peter did, he prayed that short prayer, Lord, save me. And little faith is safe because Jesus is near. And Jesus was near to him when he prayed that prayer. You do believe, and if you believe, why doubt? Little faith, if you doubt, why believe? And if you believe, why doubt? Doubt, its definition is divided into two. Why did Peter doubt? What was the evidence of his doubt? It wasn't much later that when Jesus was about to be put on trial that Peter denies Jesus three times. Has God been ever unfaithful to you? Has someone ever told you that Jesus cannot be trusted? Some people might. Some people may throw at you, the Bible can't be trusted. It says different things. But believe me, it can. It's useful to confront our doubts. Has God abolished his promises and made them no longer valid? Has God changed? No, he hasn't. Is there a good reason why you have doubts? Was there a good reason? And did any good come from it? Ask yourself these kinds of questions. Those who were in the boat came and worshipped him. They moved quickly from fearing the storm to worship him. The reasons why. One, he walked on water. Two, he showed great care and love for Peter. And this is the first time we meet with so plain an acknowledgement of him being the Son of God. What are we facing in life? What storms are we facing? Are you afraid of what you face? These storms can be a blessing. Are you struggling like the disciples were? In the boat, they've been toiling all night against the storm. They were so exhausted. Are you stuck in the middle of your storm and going nowhere, seemingly? And at the same time, Jesus came to them in the darkness. In Psalm 139, just going to read, short 139 verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Storms are there to remind us as to who is in control. How can we respond? First, we need to develop a habit like Jesus did of being alone to pray. Not always, because corporate prayer is important when we all pray together. That's corporate prayer. But it's good to spend time alone with Jesus. We can ask him to reign in us so that he is our Lord and Master. And we're going to sing that song now, Reign in Me.